Joshua chapter 5, please. Joshua chapter 5. Good to see a good number here this morning. Started last week. I don't know whether it's a series of messages about worship or just looking at the worship. And today you won't hear the word worship mentioned too many times, but this message kind of took a turn for me. But if you found Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, I'll share with you what the Lord has revealed to me this week. Joshua 5, please stand. Please stand. Verse 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? He said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Let's pray. Father, I come to you this morning, Lord, as always, seeking just you to be exalted this morning and to show up in all of our lives, Lord. I know that I am just, as the Bible would say, I'm dust. But I do pray, Lord, this morning that you'll take this small piece of dust and help me to proclaim your word, and may the folks here this morning receive the message that you have for them, not me, but that you have for them. And we just pray, Lord, that your will be done in this service, Lord. I pray that lives will be turned around, people will be strengthened, people will today learn what it is about to be prepared for the battle that the spirit in the spiritual life that we are all in. So, Lord, I just pray again that you would do a work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me say this in the way of preparation. I have been your pastor for a while. So I must remind myself occasionally that you may have heard some of my antidotes. You may have heard the way that I present things, and sometimes you may say, well, yeah, there he goes again. But let me remind you this morning that if I look up here, especially if you're a member of this church, because this is important to me, and I hope it's important to you. If my voice is not being heard by you as the word from God, maybe I should not be the one up here proclaiming the word to you. You need someone else. You get what I'm saying? Now, I realize it takes all of us a while sometimes to respond to God. I'm not saying that. But I do know this, that God has put upon my heart here recently to pray about, is the church listening? Not to me, but are they? Am I the spiritual leader that's supposed to be here? Because we've seen God do some great things since I've been here, and not negating that. But again, folks, God always wants us to go higher and farther. Amen? And this morning's message will be no different. Be no different. I have prayed and sought the will of the Lord. I don't come here to say, boy, Rick, you did a good job. I'm hoping and praying this morning that there's going to be people here today that are going to go, hey, I realize I'm in a spiritual battle, but I'm not fighting it. And I hope you have a bulletin when we run out this morning, but I just ask you this morning just to hear what God is saying this morning. I hope you come with a receptive heart that says, I didn't come to hear Rick, I come to hear from God. I want to see what God can do in my life. You know, there's a multitude of expectations that God has in this room, all the way from the youngest to the oldest. And you know, with God, we can do a lot. For I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You know, a lot of people have that as their refrigerator verse. But you can't just quote that verse and it happened, folks. You can't just put it on your refrigerator because it's never going to make it outside that door. And we're in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle. And there are souls that are on the line. People that may be here today that have been hearing the Word of God but have never truly been saved. My question to you today, if you died today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? You must settle that question before you can move forward in any type of service to God. You must. Jesus said you must be born again or you can't see the kingdom of heaven. You can't see the spiritual things that you have, that God has for you. See, Joshua is the leader of the children of Israel. And they're standing right there at the... They've already crossed the Jordan, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But they're standing right there, they're looking at their first enemy, Jericho. But as I studied this week, I couldn't go from these verses right into Jericho. I had to go backwards. And you're going to hear some things that sound very familiar from what your pastor and I have said in the past. But there are many people today in this building that are just standing on the sidelines, that are not really doing anything for God. And they know that. And it doesn't matter how I say it or how I may try to convince people, they may walk out this door today and continue to live as they came in. But hear me this morning. You're in a spiritual battle. I've seen too many families because a husband or a wife or a mom or a dad failed to do their spiritual responsibility and that child behind them has no spiritual guidance. And we see that in some cases of people that have been coming to this church that there maybe are members. They have a son or daughter and they said, you know, we're not going to go to church anymore. What's that telling that young child? You know, I worked with VBS for a long time, and I can tell you that even though those kids may sit and scramble sometimes in the pew, they're listening better sometimes than we adults are. Because we adults, we pre-program what the preacher's going to say. He's going to talk about that. I know what he's going to talk about. There's a lot of potential that God wants to get to in this building this morning. It's only going to happen a few different ways, folks. If we don't know what we're for, we'll never know what we're against. Now, I ask you to turn to Joshua chapter 1. I'll try to go through this as best I can. If you have the bulletin, you'll see the outline there on the back. You may want to take notes. Young people, I can't emphasize enough to take notes. See, I sit in a church and listen to a pastor preach from the time I got saved at 10 years old till I was 13. And I'm sure that William Humphrey gives some good guidelines for youth to live by. And I failed to live by them. Thus, my life spun out of the will of God and out of control for about 15 years. Are there regrets? Of course there are. Are there some places where I want to praise the Lord? Yes, there is, because I feel like I'm that one sheep, Tim, that He come and found. When it says He left the 99 and went, I feel like I... And you probably have felt that before. Because He'll come hunting for you. But you can't kick and scream and Him drag you back. He will only come if you'll submit to Him. This morning, first point, preparations. The steps of preparation before battle. And again, that all comes on the heels, folks. I've got to get this in your mind this morning. It all comes on the heels as if you're willing to step into battle this morning. And I'm not talking about with a machine gun or a tank. I'm trying to think how I can make this sound right for you and for anyone else. You take a 13, 14-year-old child, boy or girl, doesn't matter. And they decide that they will not hear the things of God. And if they hear the things of God, they're just going to keep on moving. And they're going to look at that as a good religious thing. And there's some of those maybe even here in this building this morning that have heard it. God has spoke to them, but they're just like, you know, hold up. I don't have to take a move on this. I'm going to leave that to the preacher and to them church people. We're not talking about a church thing. We're talking about a personal thing. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship. A relationship. See, there is a person, if you're lost here today, that wants to reveal His love to you in such a great way that you couldn't even imagine it. And that's Jesus Christ. He wants to show you His love. He showed it on the cross, but He wants to be personal about it. He wants to make it real for you. He doesn't want you just to come sing some songs about it. He wants to get into your life. Now, Joshua here is become the leader, and Moses is dead. In verse 5 of chapter 1, he says, God tells him, there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now that should be enough. But God goes on, be strong and of good courage, and unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from the left, from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe and do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the word for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. My first point this morning is the promise of the Word of God. See, there's probably some walls up here this morning, like the walls in Jericho. It's the walls of maybe family devotions. You say, what are you talking about? There's probably been some dads or some moms that have felt like, you know, they need to have a time of devotion at their home, but they just like, you know, there's a wall there. And I'm going to tell you, it may not have been my first wall that I tore down, but it was one of them first ones. I felt, and my son's here, you can ask him, the first time, and I've told you, the first time we did family devotions at our house, my kids looked at me like a cow looks at a new gate. I come by and say, guys, get your Bibles, we're going to do devotion. And they're like, and I don't remember what the devotion was. And I wouldn't even really want it to be recorded because it was probably pretty sad. But after a while, it became a thing to where we, at least as a family, we shared spiritual things. And I think it helped us as a family. I think it helped us bond together. There's some situations that we were able to go through, but I want to tell anybody here this morning, the steps of preparation before battle, the first one is you got to get into the Word of God. You got to know what the promises of God are. So you've heard me say it over and over again. He tells Joshua to meditate, to think about the Word of God. If you today are living your life and church is your religion, and the way you're going to live your life is without the Word of God, you're going to be malnutrition. You're going to be like that little child on that commercial that does not have enough food to survive. And you're going to starve to death. God, repeat that over and over and over and over again. And I've got to where I quit asking the question, how many of y'all read your Bible every day? I'm not asking you to do a dissertation or do a thesis or a theological study. I'm not asking you to do that. God just wants you to read His Word. He just wants you to feed upon it. Get to where you want to partake in it. And people will look at the, well, preacher, I know I should read my Bible. I'm not asking you to read it. He said, wait a minute. I'm asking you to desire it. See, you're going to have to tear that wall down. See, that wall around Jericho may be reading my Bible. He said, I don't got time. I told you. I'm sure you do have time. Just start making a note what all you do. I'm sure that if you tell me everything you do, I can find 30 minutes in there where you can kind of cross out, get 30 minutes. See, I'm not talking about reading the Bible all day, being like where you get that little sound, ooh. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to open your Bible and say, okay, Lord, I want to read the Bible. And you read a few verses, meditate, think on it. Pray about it. And begin that walk. Tear that wall down. See, there's some of you teenagers, and some of you, and even younger than that are saved, that have made professions of faith, and it's been proven in our Bible challenge, that don't know which book, which section, Old Testament or New Testament, some of the characters are in. That tells me, real simply, you haven't been reading your Bible. Amen, preacher. I mean, Moses, how many of y'all think he's a New Testament character? I had teenagers, the whole group of them couldn't make up the answer. He said, well, Rick, these are from the Old Testament. I'm not going to look at the ones that were in there. See, I didn't look over that way. I didn't look at Cole. Oh, I'm sorry. They couldn't remember at the time. And is that important? No. But you should know your Bible enough to know that in Exodus chapter 2, that's where Moses' mom and dad by faith put Moses in that little river. See, there's going to be a time when you're going to have to put your child in the Nile River and say, Lord, I got faith in you and that child. You do everything you can to prepare it. Yes, I get that. Second thing this morning, you need partners in the battle. You say, Rick, what are you talking about? In verse 16 of chapter 1, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. Whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Now let me preface this just a little bit without trying to go in too much detail. There was 2.5 tribes that when they come to the promised land, they told Moses before this, hey, we like this spot. We don't even want to go across the Jordan. And Moses pretty much talked to the Lord, worked it out, said, okay, so you can have this. But when we go in and we cross the Jordan, you're going to have to send some men in to fight with us. And while we're there, we want you to fight until we have conquered all the lands. And they said, we'll do it. Now, 40 years later, they come to this Brandy and these guys. Joshua brought it back. You said you would go fight for us. And they said, we'll do all that you want us to do. He said, what's that got to do with going for him prepared for battle? Hey, you and I both need some partners in this battle. We do. And this is the point that I'm probably the most guilty of, because I'm a loner in a sense. In a sense, I am. And I got to be careful because I get worse and worse instead of better and better. And there's probably some loners out here. It's not that I don't want to get close to anybody as far as, you know, relationship, but it's just like if you don't have somebody that is your prayer partner, other than your husband or wife, or if you don't have somebody that's your prayer partner, you need to get one. I'm not saying you got to get together every day and pray. But you need that special friend that you need to tear down the wall and say, okay, I need somebody. See, Patrick Hawkins sat back there about a month and a half ago. That was my guy. Me and Patrick, we didn't talk every day. And that was, for me, Jason, it was a growth part of my spiritual life that I'll never forget. I found somebody that cared about me, and both of us wanted to prosper. We wanted to see God work. Neither one of us were kind of the same, but I found him, and we just, if you don't have a prayer partner this morning, you need to get somebody. You say, who'd I get? Well, I give you a little suggestion. Ask God, he'll probably show you who it is. And every week or two or month, you go to that person and say, let's just pray together. Let's just sit down right here and pray. You share it. You know, maybe you have to send them a text. Hey, having a bad day. I feel like hitting my boss in the head. They'll take you back. Oh, don't do that. Or if they know your boss, maybe they'll say, go ahead, see if it works. But it's not just for the big things, folks. It's for the little things. You get what I'm saying? Teenagers. Somebody's invited you to a party where you know there's going to be alcohol. Your prayer partner. Be honest with them and text them and say, hey, I've been invited. I know I shouldn't go. Pray for me that I'm strong enough that I won't go. Amen, adults. Adults, same thing. So you need a prayer partner. You need an accountability partner. That prayer partner may be that same person. I don't know. But you need somebody that'll make sure that when you're out of church, they'll say, hey, man, missed you. Hey, boy, we'd love to see you on Sunday night. Preacher ain't doing too good a job, but we'd still love to have you there. You'd make it looking better anyway. And you probably need a witness partner. And that could be one person, it may be a couple people, maybe three people. You say, what do you mean a witness partner? You need somebody so that when you get the burden for a lost soul, you say, I got a burden for Bob. Call that person up and say, I got a burden, Bob, I know he's lost. I'm getting ready to go talk to him. They say, either I'll pray for you, hey, can I go with you? Can I go with you? Can I go with you? Do you have that person this morning in your life that'll keep you moving forward for the things of God? Next thing, provided proof of God's preparations. See, I don't know, Rick, about that. If you'll turn with me to Philippians. Trust me, when I get to the end, this message will be over when we get there. And that sounds crazy, but my last point's really short. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, I want to remind you that God has promised through His Word that He'll continue. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Do you believe the Bible? If you've been saved, you should say, hey, I'm going to hang on to that verse. I wished I had of when I was 13. But you know what, Cole? I can today, because what I messed up in back in those days, God has said, hey, see, Rick, I was still working. He said, but I was messing up so bad, Lord. I was still working. I was putting people in your life. I was putting things in there. I was working. I was setting the table. But I was such a sinner. I was still working. And then when you finally turned, look in Ephesians. I hope you haven't turned there. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. See, there's a reason, folks, why God wants to work in us. It says, and if you're lost, here's a good verse, but I want to keep going. Here in verse 8 of Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith. That's how you get saved, is by God's grace. You're going to be saved by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. But look at this. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're not saved by works, but look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now back over in our text. Back over in our text. Look in chapter 2, verse 9. This is Rahab the harlot, okay? We talk about the preparations of battle. Joshua just not going to walk in. He sent some spies, and Rahab the harlot helps the guys, and she's going to hide them, and she's going to help. She's going to be the one that lays the red scarlet down, and she's going to be one of the people in Jericho that does not get destroyed because she put her faith in God's plan of redemption. Look what she says in verse 9 of chapter 2. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. They ain't even attacked yet, Jody. The black battle plan ain't even been set up. And Rahab's saying, we know that God's already given this to you. The promises of God. They're limitless. You read in the Bible, you find your promises. You say, are there different promises for different people? They're the same ones, but God will speak to you about it specifically. Have you got one that you hold on to? Have you got one that God just says, that's it? She says that your terror is falling upon us. They ain't shook a sword towards them, Miss Becky, or anything. They ain't set up their house or cannon against Jericho. They ain't done none of this stuff. And Rahab said, the terror has been upon us. Why is that? They heard in verse 10 how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. That was 40 years before that. And Rahab's still talking about it. And when you came out of Egypt, unto the two kings of the Amorites, and were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. See, there's some places that God is working in your life. It could be past testimonies. You know, and I think just immediately, and it was such a sweet service that we had. I don't know how many years ago it is. I know there's one person that might be able to tell me better than others. But we, on Thanksgiving, had a testimony service on Wednesdays. And there was a young man that came, Jay Shepherd, that was not a member of our church. And we had a time of testimony. We just, I give a testimony, and I said, okay, anybody else want to give a testimony? There wasn't a lot of people here. And I don't know whether Jace would speak to it right now, but he heard the testimony of one specific person and another specific person that convinced him that there were some people here that were real about God. See, there's some times, folks, you need to tell other people about how God's worked in your life. Do you need to knock down that? Well, see, y'all heard me give a lot of my stories. I'd love for you to tell me your stories. Not right now. I mean, I'm preaching right now. But what I'm saying is, you need to share that back and forth. See, on Sunday night, right now, we went from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 all the way through, and tonight we're going to finish in chapter 3. And tonight we're going to talk about taking ownership of your life. And something that I've noticed in the scriptures in chapter 2 and 3 there, you know what? It doesn't matter how your church is exploding or how dead you think your church is, you're still personally responsible for your spiritual life. Brandy's responsible for hers. Rick's responsible for his. And I mean, we could go through and name everybody here in this building. There needs to be proof that God is working. Now look in chapter 4. Believe it or not, we're closer to the end than you may think. But I will have to stop here for just a minute and kind of reinforce what I started with. Okay? If you young kids that are saved here today, or maybe somebody that feels like they're backslidden, or maybe you're just not where you want to be, I want you to listen to me for just a minute. You have got to somewhere along the way saying, I'm going to step. I'm going to step. I'm going to step by faith. I'm going to step into it. Just like the family devotions that we did at the Stump Resident those years ago. That was, to me, that was a kind of a step. There were other steps that were going on. Teenagers, your step may be what? I'm going to start thinking about who all in my class is lost. And I'm going to start praying for them. I'm going to step into that. You're going to get that far, and then when you start seeing and talking to those people and you find there's somebody lost, you say, okay, God says, I want you to speak to them about Jesus Christ. You're going to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to step into that. And before you know it, you're going to be in the battlefield. Now remember where we're at in our account here. We're talking about the children of Israel 40 years before that had come across the Red Sea, right? And they come up to Kadesh Barnea, and God said, okay, we're going to bring you into the promised land. And they sent 12 spies, and the 12 spies, 10 of them said, you know, there's a lot of churches out there that got 10 people that said no and 2 that said, by the grace of God, we can do it. I'm not saying it's this one. I'm just saying there's a lot of churches out there that said, you know what? That's too bold a step. We don't need to go there. We don't need to do that. God said, just step. See, I remember when we got ready to go to Belize that first time, there were some people in the church that just wasn't really sure whether we could do that. But they stepped. And what happened? We've seen God do some great things, right? That was corporately, but I'm talking about spiritually in your life. You need to make those steps yourself. There's some people that everybody didn't go to Belize. But you got your own beliefs. You got your own thing that you need to work on. Now here's the second thing I want to share with you before I go there. If you're thinking it has to be a big thing, it doesn't have to be a great big thing. Maybe your thing is, and I got to go there. I got to go there, okay? Maybe you say, okay, I know I'm supposed to do, what do you think? Those of you that are with me right now, what do you think of that one thing that you know that God wants you to do? And you say, I know there's that one thing. I dare you, I double dog dare you this morning to write it on a piece of paper. Right now. I mean right now, write it on a piece of paper. I am not doing this. I know God. If you're brave enough this morning, write it on a piece of paper. And either at the time of invitation or when we're praying, say, okay, Lord, I know this. Right here it is. I want to knock that wall down. I want to knock that wall down. I want to defeat that. See, that's how it's going to work, folks. The victory doesn't come magically as it does in a Walt Disney movie. You have to take a step of faith. Now, in our account here, we got the children of Israel have said no, but 40 years later, they're getting ready to cross over, and they're going to cross in. It says there in verse 19 of chapter 4, and the people came up out of Jordan the 10th day and the 10th of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho, and those 12 and took And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Now they went across the Jordan River now into the battlefield. And it says, Then shall ye let your children know, saying, Israel, come unto this Jordan on dry land. Now let's stop there for the sake of time. If you really want to get places in your Christian life, I challenge you. Get you a prayer book. Get you a journal. And start writing down some thoughts. Now, you can be like the girl that put the lock on the book, put it somewhere where nobody can get to it. Just be between you and God. Okay? Now, I've got some books that back in 2000s and whatever year it was, I wrote stuff. And sometimes I feel kind of silly when I pull them out and read it because I just wonder what in the world I was thinking. I mean, I do. But occasionally I'll come across a phrase and I'll go, And I might not remember that specific thing, but I remember there was something going on in my life that God was doing. And maybe I read something that just really is good, and I'm like, yeah, I remember that. Or maybe I'll write down there, I went to church, and so-and-so come and rededicated their life. I was there. Went to church under conviction. Went forward and rededicated my life. Well, that was good. I didn't know where I was going spiritually. I didn't know much about the Bible or nothing. I took a step. You got to take a step. You got to write it down. Make yourself accountable before God. They took those 12 stones and put them down there. And they, when the children come by and they say, what's in them books, Mom, Dad? Hey, let me show you. They may think nothing about it. I guarantee you, as time goes by, they'll look back at that time and go, I remember that. I remember that. See, is your relationship with Jesus Christ and with God, is it real this morning? Are you willing to say, I'm going to step? See, there's a battle out there. We're going to lose some teenagers to drug addictions. We're going to lose teenagers to worldliness. They're going to be seeking to get the best job and the best house and the best vehicle and the best all that stuff. And they're going to be pushed to do that. And that's what they're going to end up with. They're not going to end up with a relationship that is real and vital in their life. See, I see people in my circle of friends that have had the job and had the vehicles and had that stuff, and I'm happy for them. They got the retirement. They never had to worry about anything. But they're miserable because they don't know God. They don't know Jesus Christ in a real and personal way. I wouldn't trade that. I wouldn't trade that. I wouldn't trade that for nothing. Would you? Joshua says, make you some memorials. One other thing, and then I'll move on. Look down in chapter 5, verse 10. I'm skipping some stuff here because I've taken too long on others, but that's okay. Verse 10, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month. And even in the plains of Jericho, they did eat the old corn of the land on the morrow over the Passover, unleavened cakes. And parched corn in the same day, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten the old corn of the land. Now that's the last point I want to make before I get to my application. They had been getting manna for 40 years. Okay? And I'm not going to spiritualize this point, but you may be one of those Christians that are walking in the wilderness with God. And this is kind of your pattern. This is your pattern. You're not making any forward progress. You're just walking around. when the cloud comes down, you stop, you put your tent out, and then when it comes up, just like they did in the children of Israel did, when it come up, they followed it, and 40 years they did that. Why did they do that? Because they did it in unbelief. They didn't have anything. They were walking and walking and walking in a circle, doing nothing. They come to this point, and they take that step of faith, and the manna stops. See, there's some Christians that are walking around in circles, and the only thing that is sustaining them is just the grace of God. But God's got a new life out there for you. He wants to reveal to you. He has new fruit, if you will, that you can try. There's new bread out there. There's new lands to conquer. See, the guys could probably relate to this a little bit better than the girls, but there's a land of conquest out there. And I'm not talking about taking over land. I'm talking about taking over things. Is there a personal victory in your life that you'd like to get? So, well, I'd like to make some more money. No, I'm talking spiritually. Well, I don't really have any aspirations spiritually. You should get some. You get what I'm saying? This is a step out in the right direction with God. They're standing there before their first battle, and the manna stops because they had come and they started partaking of what? You got to go back to the first point. They start partaking of the promises of God. See, God said that wherever your foot goes, I'm going to give it to you. They crossed that river Jordan, and like I say, we didn't go through the whole deal. They just went across it by faith. They put those memorial stones down there, and they started eating off of the land that God had promised them 40 years before that. Really, about 500 years before that. You say, can God promise stuff that far in advance? Sure He can. Just want to read a verse to you in John 15. You don't have to go there, just a verse. You've heard it. Jesus said in verse 5, I am the vine, you the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Now for my application this morning. Back to the text that I read early on. Chapter 5, verse 13. Won't read it all. Just want to set your mind in the atmosphere that Joshua was in. Joshua was standing there looking over Jericho, the place that they're about to attack. Okay? You're standing there today, you're getting ready to walk out that door. There's going to be battles that are going to come up. You're going to stand there before them. You're going to say, okay, I'm saved, I'm good, I'm good to go. You're not quite prepared yet. Young person, you say, hey, I'm saved, I'm going to... They had Bible, take your Bible to school today. I've seen some pictures of kids that took them. That's great. Are you reading that Bible? Every day. Are you feeding on it? Not fussing. I'm just saying, you know, you can carry the Bible, but are you living the Bible? And Joshua's standing there looking at Jericho. And all of a sudden he sees a man holding a sword. Folks, I want you to get this so much this morning. Jesus Christ stands ready. Jesus Christ stands ready to go before you and with you in the battle. There's a man standing there with a sword in his hand. And Joshua said, hey, are you on our side or are you on your, or which side are you on? And Jesus said, you said, Jesus, yes, this is a theophany. This is a picture of the incarnate Christ. And Jesus said, I am the captain of the Lord of hosts. In other words, I'm Him. I want you to get this. What did Joshua do? Look at verse 14. What's he do? He falls to his face and he worships. And what does he say? See, if you're going into battle, you better get this. If you got the wrong leader into your battle, you're going to get the wrong information. You're going to get defeated. Joshua says, and we'll read it. What saith my Lord unto his servant? See, Joshua, even though he's the leader, he ain't the one leading the army. See, you may be the one that's responsible for your life and leading your life, but you better let Jesus Christ be the leader of your life. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word," what, young folks? "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You better have the light, Jesus Christ, out there showing you the way. You'll step on a landmine and be blowed up. You'll be in addiction before you know it. You'll be whatever. You said that wouldn't happen. It happens. I mean, you just look at what kids are facing today, folks. It happens. And see what happens to adults. Joshua said, "What would you have thy servant to do?" First thing he does is humble himself, folks. Have you humbled yourself before Jesus Christ for salvation or service? Second thing he does, this three-point of application, I'm done, he submits to it. He says, "What will you have thy servant to do?" You say, "What's the last part?" I'm glad you asked. I asked Miss Lisa and them to come. The last part, look at verse 15. "And the captain of the Lord of hosts said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." See, Joshua humbled himself and submitted to the authority, but God, Jesus Christ, says, "Hey, take your shoe off." You say, what does that mean? He relinquished his authority and gave the authority to God. This morning I'm asking, if you had something that you would have been bold enough to write on a piece of paper, have you humbled yourself to where you're willing to submit to how God wants you to defeat that victory or defeat that enemy? You say, why do you say it like that? Hey, when they went to Jericho, they didn't shoot cannons. They marched around it 7 days, and on the seventh day they walked around it 7 times, and then they shouted and it fell down. Those are only divine instructions that win the victory. Only. Let's all stand. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. Thank you for these folks that are here this morning. God, I pray that it's not because of what I've seen in the word, but it's because of how you spoke to me. There are going to be people out here this week, in the next month, years, that are going to face battles. And I pray they're prepared. God wants to prepare us. I pray that they would heed to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.